judgment and to reward.
Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! 'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes you have.
And all my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am
this morning. Praise God. We're coming to the last word from the Word on Friday of 2022. God has been so good, so, so good. He's allowed us to view into that which is coming. We're so close, and we've been so blessed, so very, very blessed. This year has held a lot of tests and trials. It was interesting that as this happened to us, it also happened to Job, and we're able to navigate what God has, the path that we had to walk in through the eyes of Job and through the eyes of God. And so we're just so grateful that this year has brought us to the point where we're better now than we've ever been. We view our tests and our trials and those situations that are very challenging, we view them as opportunities. We view them now as our captivity, captivating us to a place where God stops our momentum in the natural so that he can purify our momentum for the spiritual. And so we sit now as the love and the blessedness of God, preparing our hearts and our lives so that we no longer think in the natural, but we think like the mind of Christ, who's our model, who's our big brother, as they call him, but the firstborn of from death. He is our standard. He's our plumb line. And we've always understood that, but now we're going to see what it looks like in the different areas of our experiences in life. That Christ in Your Crisis book that we looked at is drawing from the cross those victories that the cross won for us and allowing us to walk in a liberty that gives us power and authority in this earth realm, in the realm of the influencers of the mountains that affect the lives of every individual. And so we are so grateful for this opportunity to just really get into some of the principles behind what went on in the book of Job. Some of the virtues that God was looking at and looking for in Job and in us, and how his view is much more powerful and much more in-depth, much more penetrating than ours. And so we ended last week class with the fact that we are to delight ourselves in the Lord. And all that we experience, we understand it comes through him. And we are to delight ourselves in that posture, in that relationship, in that position that Christ has won for us to be close to the King and the Creator of the universe. And so as we come to realize more and more in every area, in every action, in every situation, in every circumstance, that it has gone through God and God has a purpose and a plan for us to prosper. God is like, we had a class at a retreat. Help, God is trying to kill me. Yes, he is trying to crucify our flesh. He is desiring to purify us from ourselves and our enemies. And so if that requires him to make us decrease, so that he can increase in our lives, then that is what we are to delight ourselves in, because the Father chastens those that he loves. So every time we are to see this as this is hard love. This is love, and this is a perfect, perfecting love. A lot of loves that we experience in life, they don't make us perfect. Actually, they kind of bring out the worst in us, some of them. But this, his love, is a perfecting love. It is a love that as it unfolds in our lives and in our experiences, we become better, but we become what we were created to be. And that's a perfected state. When you have something that, a meal that you're cooking, a certain dish that you have, and you're trying to perfect the recipe for it, and so you do it once, and it's like, it's missing a little of this. Oh, it's got too much of that. Or it's got, and you make adjustments until it gets like, this is it. And that's what God is doing to us. He is doing for us. He is doing through us so that we can, this is it. This is the image of Christ. This is the image of our Savior and our Redeemer and our King and our the lover of our soul. And so as he perfects us, we are to understand that this situation is an opportunity. We're not to become bitter by what's going on, but we are to take advantage of this in such a way that it enlightens us and it brings us to a new mindset, to a new life in Christ. Our attitude is so important. So when we delight ourselves in the Lord will come into, then we'll all come into his promises. And we know his promises. And some of the promises that we don't know, we should search out so we understand the hope of our calling. We have a hope of our calling, but oftentimes that hope looks like what we've seen around us that has not been perfected. But the hope of our calling is the life of Christ and all things concerning it, because that is the hope that he brought to us, a living hope. So those who delight themselves in the Lord will come into the power of the promises of God through actually the blood of Jesus Christ. Our attitude is so important if we desire God's favor. The heavenly bridegroom desires to free his bride of all negative homes. And we know how ugly sometimes we can sound. Not that we're being mean or anything, but we are responding to life circumstances and situations in such a way that's emotionally a physical response and not from a spiritual understanding. So these negative tones, complaining, criticizing, ingratitude, a lack of love for our enemy. All of these things are negative tones. There's nothing negative at all, and there should be nothing negative all about, there isn't nothing negative all about Christianity. Christianity should reflect Christ, who is the light, who was positive. Everything he did in whatever situation or circumstance he was in was to bring hope, to bring light, to bring truth, to reveal the heart and the love of the Father. And so in our last class, we looked at how to overcome that that attitude or that spirit of complaining or criticizing or ingratitude. And we do. We want that to be our prayer that, you know, guard my mouth and my tongue, oh God. And that which goes forth that does not please you, let it, you know, prick my spirit. Let it stop me in my tracks and in my thinking and in my actions and in my attitude. And let me understand how you view it. You view it as me criticizing you, who is my creator. But we need to be grateful and keeping a song in our heart. And no matter where we are, what we do, God has done something. He has done something. His goodness and mercy runs after us. And that is the song we can sing, even when we may not see it or feel it at the time, but we are in the midst of our trials and circumstances. We have a song that should be in our heart, and it will help us to connect more with the love of God that is transforming us in the current situation, to not compare ourselves to other people, to fully release all our offenders, to fully forgive and not to allow that unforgiveness to make us a captive of us and keep us from our blessings, not avenge ourselves, and just realize how much we have even hurted other people. And if they were to invoke an avenge on us, think what that would look like. Think what that, because there are things we've done, things we've said in our lifetime, that if someone else were to avenge themselves, it would be against us. And so we are to remember that ergo I, and but by the grace of God and by the understanding that he is in charge. And he said, that's one of his promises. Remember, this was teaching us to hold on to these promises so they transform our thinking and our responses to life. And so if we remember, he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And so that's a promise that he gives to us. And not only a promise he gives, but then there's a truth that's been revealed to us about who he is. And we know that if he repays, he truly will repay. He will do certainly more than we could ever think, hope, or consider. Practice thinking merciful thoughts towards our offenders. Pray truly for those who would despitefully use us, or those that have done those things that offend mankind even. We need to pray for them. We need to diligently pray for them and to understand the reality is that's our responsibility. Recognize that God has a disguised blessing in every injustice. And remember that God will vindicate you sooner or later. And we definitely like sooner than later. And we don't want to wait till it happens. We want to see it now. But we have, that's where our faith is. We walk by faith, not by sight. You may not ever see it happen, but your faith should assure you it shall happen because God has said it. Jesus suffered injustices too. And we are not better than he is, and accept everything God sends as more than fair, because for us, Christ didn't deserve it, but we do. We deserve, because the wages of sin is death. But because of Christ, we do not have to endure that wage as long as we have embraced his power and his death and his suffering and his resurrection. And then adapt the mentality that we really don't deserve anything. And so we start this week's lesson seeing judgment from God's perspective. And I'll put a pin in that. That was the book that I think we're going to gravitate to next, and probably started about mid-January, God's eye view. And I was trying to think, I know Elder Roberta, you on the line? Can you,
ma'am?
Can you tell me the author,
ma'am?
Of that. I forgot. The author of the author of God's eye view.
Oh, you know, I don't know, because I didn't find my book. I thought I had it. Oh, is that Tenney?
Yes, that's it.
Yes,
right.
It's Tom, I think it's Tom Tenney.
Tom Tenney.
Okay.
Is that
Elder.
Who it is, Elder?
Is that the same one you mentioned last week? Tom Tenney, I thought you had a workbook or something.
Thank you. Okay, so that's going to be our next. It does have a workbook. I did remember somebody saying, we got out. Yep, you got a homework.
But the devil.
Yeah, but you know what? I think it'll help us. You know, and so I don't mind. I know that there's a lot of people that may be online that do not have the book, which is why we really try to give an overview of the reading that we had. And sometimes I just flat out read it because it's so much information in it, and we need to have access to it. So not that you can't share with us if you don't have a book or a workbook or do the homework, but it just will enhance our study and our time together. And so I don't want people to say, well, you know, I can't because I don't. But you can, so don't worry about it. If you don't have a book or the workbook.
Mm-hmm. When you were talking about recognize that God has a disguised blessing in every injustice. This isn't an injustice, but I was just telling my son that, people are so selfish nowadays. And I was thinking about what happened. We were talking about what happened with Southwest, you know, the people stranded and everything going on. I said, people should look beyond what the bad and see the good. Maybe God was sparing their lives, you know, with all this stuff going on. I said, but they don't take the time to look beyond the bad and see the good, you know, because, you know, a lot of people could have died. You know, the planes could have went up, or the wings froze, got ice on the wings, or what have you, you know. At least you were spared, your life was spared, and you would still get to see your loved ones. But what if you had gone up and then your life was lost? I said, but nowadays people, it's all about me, 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 I. And then the news people don't make me better because they keep digging in.
Digging out,
You know, and I say, but if we lose Southwest, then you're going to be paying these humongous airfares. I mean, even though they do have other airlines, you know, that has low fares, but you know, they just don't look at the beyond and see the good or see God or I don't know, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting you brought that up, and we don't, well, we do from time to time. And and anybody else that wants to chime in, because I know we have varying opinions, but when I first heard it, I was so offended that the people had the audacity to be complaining. Now, I understood the complaint, oh, I can't make my this, I can't make my that, but they talked about this snow for 2 weeks. Bare minimum 2 weeks. And so I just feel like, as you shared, you know, there is a blessing in it, but also we have a responsibility. And, you know, as they were highlighting Southwest, it wasn't like the other ones didn't also have cancellations. But I felt the people that were on Southwest, because, you know, it's a cheap ticket. And you get what you pay for. But don't, you know, tear them down because, like you say, you didn't want to go to Delta and pay the price. You know, and so I really saw how you had this whole mindset just floating around. And I don't know if it was just the few that, like you say, the news people went and you know, interviewed, or the few that's going to want to sue or whatever, and yet the bulk may have not had that mindset. Yes, it's terrible. You know, I miss my flight, I miss my family, I miss my job or the wedding or whatever, you know, but it's understandable because the weather happened and the plane don't fly. And so I see how this, for in our sight, we see it differently because we're getting a God's eye view of things. But I think it just kind of, it gives us an understanding of these mountains of influence, of the media,
mm-hmm.
you know, entertainment, you know, and all you have to do is interview three people that are negative. You may have
mm-hmm.
600 people there, and three are negative,
yeah.
and then the three you and put on the news, because it's
mm-hmm.
not you didn't two other people, but they didn't get on the news. And so I just feel like it's God's way of allowing us to now use our new eyesight, use our new
mm-hmm.
glasses. Like when you get glasses, you can see clear. You know, well,
mm-hmm.
he has cleared some of the debris, if you will, from our minds and our understanding, and we see things differently, which is what makes
yeah.
us peculiar. You know, you see it as this is a time of rejoicing. You know, and somebody, you know, well, I want to be reimbursed and this and that and another. Thank God you
mm-hmm.
had money to go to a hotel and you didn't have to lay on the floor. You know, so there's always
exactly.
something that we can use to be grateful about, to be grateful about. Now, right,
mm-hmm.
and there's, yeah, it's like, and you know what, even in all things, this too shall pass. You're not going to be on that
yeah.
floor for the rest of your life. Sooner or later,
mm-hmm.
a plane is going to come and take you back home. Now, you may not ever get your luggage. That's
yeah.
another story. But,
yeah.
you know,
and if they had
it happens.
And flew and the plane crashed, then
right.
they still
mm-hmm.
didn't say, well, why did they when they knew the weather,
let
was
go,
why would they
go. Right.
You know, like, it's just, I don't know what's wrong with the people. They just...
Yeah, but God wants you to know what's wrong with them. He is
mm-hmm.
teaching you so you do know what's wrong. They're not grateful. You know, they're
mm-hmm.
a whole group of entitlement. They think they're entitled to things. The only thing we're entitled to is death and hell. That's the only thing we've earned. You know, but by grace of God, we have favor. Even the good and the bad have found favor with him. And as
yeah.
a result, our hearts should be grateful. And so he's showing us this. And that's what we looked like to him in times past when we didn't have this understanding, when we didn't have
yeah.
this new insight, these new pair of glasses. You know, we were complaining
mm-hmm.
about him, which was a direct insult, because we were criticizing the living God. But that's the same thing we did. So that's why in this list of how to overcome, you know, it's just pray for the offenders. But even, I was going to say you can pray for, but even beyond that, you can share a truth, like you share the truth with your son, you know. And so that's how this new mindset starts to influence people's thinking, because they go, yeah, you know what, I didn't think of that. You know, yeah, you know what, you're right. That's how we become influencers, when we allow or when we testify, if you will. In fact, the Bible says you overcome by the word of your testimony. And so the testimony is, you know, you could have been in that airplane and you could be dead, okay? And yet now you have opportunity to say thank you, God, okay,
yes.
because
yes.
it didn't
yes.
happen,
yes.
and he is
mm-hmm.
merciful. And so I believe that as we are going through this, as we're, the author is summarizing some things for us, is so that we will walk in a liberty that will help shine a light on other people. It ended with the fact that Christianity is light. It is L-I-G-H-T. And that we should shine that light just as Christ did. And we shine it by the word of our testimony. Okay, we shine it by allowing the Lord to bring us through these situations and circumstances and judge us. which is next section that we want to look at. And so did anybody else want to weigh in on that current event thing?
Yes, they should be just thanking God that they did stop the planes from going flying. I mean, you would be dead. You could have been dead.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's just crazy. I ain't understand that. You're just gonna be now, and so it's all about the money, trying to get something back for nothing. That's all. That's all.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they should be paying them the ones that wanted the planes to fly, and then if the planes fell, crashed and whatever, then they would have been saying that they shouldn't have allowed them to do that and all of that. I don't know. So.
Yeah, so you do know. Now you know you need to pray for those people, that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. And you need to, share the wisdom that God has given you. Because we didn't get this because we got common sense. We got this because we have been given the wisdom and the understanding released in our lives by the Holy Spirit. So that's one of the things that we need to learn to use that weapon, to use that, not a weapon, that benefit. Learn to use that benefit, not as though, we created it, but it's been graciously given to us. Because if God didn't give us that understanding and did not give us that knowledge, then we would be just like the rest of them, thinking crazy, speaking crazy. And actually, we've been there, done that. And so now we have been graced, with God in allowing us to be purified, to be judged, and then to be found faithful to the teaching that has gone forth that we've embraced, so that now we see things differently. So it is in our hearts now. He is preparing our hearts to have this enormous empathy. Not empathy, that's probably the wrong word.
Empathy is probably the right word. But, Overseer,
okay.
I'm definitely on the other side of that conversation. I'm like, y'all need to pray for me, because I'm thinking that was just bad management. Because all the other airlines flew. It would be different if the weather was keeping flights from the air. But everybody else managed to make it but Southwest. That was a whole, to me, that was a strategic blunder on Southwest's part. I had family members that were trying to get back in, and they were certainly delayed significantly. And it wasn't on Southwest, like 6 hours, but they eventually got here. But my one family member who was on Southwest, who was supposed to be home Wednesday, didn't get home till Sunday. And none of the places she was at, including coming home to Chicago, had any bad weather. But, I understand the way planes work. Like, there's no extra planes and no extra plane parts. When they put a plane in the air, those planes fly almost daily, for the life. But I think it was just strategic planning where they didn't have what they needed. So, I give the people a little play on complaining, because if you've ever had to stay in the airport more than one day, it is not fun, no matter why you're there.
Nope.
That's not the...
Mm-hmm.
That's not the place you want to be, let alone the luggage. That was bad management. If everybody had it, I could go with it. But one carrier who couldn't figure out how to make that work, I don't know. I would be a gnarly person saying, reimbursing my hotel, my food. Because, a lot of people lost a lot of money with Southwest, and I don't mean just the flights, but things that they were trying to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So you got an Airbnb booked, you got a rental car booked, I don't know. I think that that was just bad business, and, you know, it's going to take them a while to recoup to regain the trust. You know, they ain't really losing. I'm sure they lost some money, but, you know, they have profits that are ridiculous, so I'm not worried about their profit margin. But, you know, the people that were just severely inconvenienced, you know, I don't know. I would be thinking again about whether I wanted to be on Southwest, and I'd certainly have my luggage with me. We ain't checking nothing, you know.
But well, amen. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate the other side of the coin, and I think that in all things, you know, we have been given, okay, an insight. And so I think one of the things that what Elder Deborah is saying is that it was a bad business move. So it's the business of the Southwest business and their management team and that sort of thing. But oftentimes things like that have to come to light for a change to happen. And I know they said there were many changes in the, you know, the management and the this and that,
yeah,
you know, whatever,
absolutely.
Whatever. But sometimes the only way to make a thing, a movement happen that brings, you know, a positive outcome is to shake it up, okay, to shake it up. And that's a blessing. So I guess in all things, you know, there are individuals, you know, that as this is happening, you know, we all have a task. And it may be a different task. Elder Devers may be, you know, to lobby on behalf of, you know, the passengers sitting out or the, you know, taking the management down, you know, or the, whatever, or, you know, bringing truth into those that are suffering. You know, it just depends on actually what you have been called to do. And so I think that that's how God wants us to start viewing our lives and our situations and circumstances is every child of God has a part to play on both sides of the fence, on all, not both sides of the fence, on all sides of the fence, whether it's to inform them or to judge them or to assist them or to comfort them, you know, save the unsaved, the comfort is needed. You know, or there and take a sandwich and give it to somebody down there because they hungry. I mean, whatever. And I'm sure there's some people that did that. I am sure. But I don't, the news didn't tell us about it. But that I know that there had to be people who had that desire. And on some way, even if they did it for just the, what you call them, the workers there that definitely was getting the blunt of everything in an environment that was less than stellar. And so there were things to do even to assist them or somebody looking at it on news and deciding to pray for the ticket taker or to pray for, you know, my thought was I prayed for the people that had to handle the luggage. They were lifting and throwing and lifting and moving, you know, an enormously more volume of things than they normally do. I can't imagine, you know, the muscle pain, the tears that they're, you know, experiencing. So
yeah.
Everybody has an area that touched them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we are.
Yes. That there's, I think in every story, once the full picture comes out, because sometimes you don't see behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, different airlines have different hubs in different places. And for their planes, and Southwest doesn't necessarily have all these hubs where, you know, when they're flying from one place to the other, where they have planes, where they can have planes stored that if they need the plane, you know, the plane come out. So, but sometimes the news don't cover the whole scenario. And not only that, when the COVID, you know, people wanted to blame the governor and this and that. They trying to protect the people during the thing, COVID, and people want to sue, get mad, and, you know. Mm-hmm. But, and I'm just saying this is a time when people want to sue for everything, when it's not necessarily that you need to sue. If the airline said they're going to figure out how to compensate the people, why do you want to sue them? For what? I mean, you know, I'm just looking at, you know.
For more money. For more money than they're going to give you. That's why.
You know, they want to sue
you
for
want,
the
you
want to
go with the popular thought of the people who would be the jurors or the judge and say, look at all this inconvenience. So instead of just giving company a free flight and maybe free food or free drinks, I want $10,000 for my inconvenience, for my stress, for not making my parents. You know, I'm just saying, you can sue people for anything. Anybody can sue anybody for anything. That don't mean you're going
to
win. Or it's a legitimate thing. But
COVID. You know, the people trying to protect you with the COVID, they want to sue because I couldn't go to work. I couldn't this, I couldn't that. I mean, it's just unbelievable, you know, about the different, you know, the mindset.
Well, and again, I don't want us to say it's unbelievable because it's very believable. The Bible has shown it's going to be that way. And then we have to realize the only reason we know it's wrong is because God told it to us. And we listened. Yeah. We didn't listen to everything he said. That's the Wednesday class. God told us to do some things, and we did part of them. We made bad choices in the part we wanted. We did. And so it's the same way. And what the I think this book of Job is telling us, but it, were it not for God, we would be sitting in those places. We would be, you know, finding, or we would be, but we know better now, not because we know better, but because God has given us the mercy and grace to understand better and to see what it really is about. Otherwise, we're being deceived by the enemy. And that's the way he goes. He is just so rejoicing because he got promised, you know, to lawyers and whatever, you know, tearing down people, which means they're releasing this negative tone in the airways. They're releasing this. And our job is to counter that and release truth, release mercy, release this calm meekness and humility, and then do that which we would have people do unto us. There were many opportunities during this situation for ministries and for individuals to embrace who they are and what they believe in and to share it with people in such a way it would have a huge impact. When you see the number of people that were there and that there were ministries and saints going in and out the crowd, doing those things that God has for them to do, it would make an enormous difference, and it would plant a seed that they would remember and gravitate to. That's why Christ said, if you lift me up, I'll draw, because they'll be so impressed with me, they'll be running trying to find me, because that's how powerful he is. And so that's what the enemy doesn't want us to do. What he wants us to do is to sit and complain and to go and to sue and to, you know, again, this negative tone, this negative release. So if what we release is not of God, then as saints, we're working for, you know, who, okay? And so we go, oh, no, I'm not working for the devil. If you're not going to release the truth of God, he said your tongue is the pen of a ready writer. So if you're not releasing the truth of God, then I suggest you figure out what you're doing. And I'm not going to say you are, but just, you know, there's two sides. And so I believe that at some point when God allows our eyes open and say, oh, wow, no, I'm not going to do that. That truth, then, we've seen it. That truth breaks us out of the captivity of negativity. That truth causes us to get a God's eye view of the things that we do, say, think, and feel. He often talks about, you know, and what we do, we say, we think, and we feel is one thing. But our attitude in all four of those situations is the thing that we communicate. So we could say it, but it's the way we say it. We could think anything, but, you know, those thoughts, we even fool ourselves with some of the stuff we think. It's crazy, okay? And we fool ourselves. And what we feel is often dependent on what situation is going on around us, and then we then look to other people to decide how we should respond. And we say, no, I don't look at other people. You know how they say, well, that's not how they do things? Who is the they?
Mm-hmm.
Those are other people. Now, they may not have a name that you know, but it is an influence that you've embraced that did not come from heaven. Now, I'm going to put it that way. And so those things, our attitude, is where he is going to transform, because our attitude comes from our heart, what's really in our heart. And that's why you say the heart is deceitful above all things. And it is that what is in, and he's going to get to that, I think, in our next section.
Yes.
So we have to understand that that attitude is the thing that our tests and our trials stir up and bring to light. That's something that's in our heart that can't stay hidden when we are in the midst of trials and circumstances. You know how people often say, well, you know, I thought they was nice, they got sick, and they so mean. It was always in them. It was here. It was in the, and they may not have known that. You know, there are things I find out about that I didn't know that. But through darkness and circumstances and situations, now I know. You know, and so that's God perfecting me. So he judged something that was there, and he let me know so that I can then choose what I want to do with it.
Right.
Either give it to him or embrace where it came from that was not him. And so this judgment that's often thought of to be negative, the judgment can also be positive. There's a judgment that happens that checked out something and says a judgment is like a diagnosis. It's not necessarily negative, or it could be negative, but it leads to a solution. So a diagnosis leads to, then this is the medication you need to take, and now you're fine, or, you know, whatever. But the whole point is that this is how we get to allow the Lord to transform our thinking and our lives, by allowing him, or not allowing him, but to interact with interact with the circumstances and situations that he sends our way, interact with them in such a way that it reveals what's really in us that is not pleasing to him, or that is. So he can judge and decide, he said, Job, a good man. He said to John the Baptist, you know, you're great. He looked at him. And he in him, and he judged him to be, you know, greater man, born of a woman, something like that. So we want to, something like that, that's what the Bible says. And so we want to look at this judgment. The author talks about three different kinds of judgment, two from the Hebrew and one from the Greek. But one is from the Hebrew, the judgment signifies to rule, to judge as an umpire. I like that one, because when you see umpires in games And my father-in-law was an umpire over all sport games. And I just thought that was amazing because that meant he knew all of the rules. He knew all of the violations. He knew all of the remedies for breaking the violations. And, I mean, he had all of that in his head. And that's the way God is. He knows all the rules. He knows all the violations. You know, and he knows, you know, the remedy. And he gives it. He gives it. The umpire will tell you, you know, you're out. Now, you can say, well, I'm not going to be out. I'm going to go hit the ball again. Well, that's, you know, you. And if they let you, go right ahead. But the umpire has the say. And then they're everywhere. They run up and down. They do more work, I feel, than the players almost. Because they got to see every angle, everything that's going on. They're watching. And this is the way God is. He's seeing everything. He's everywhere we are. He's looking. He's assessing. You know, he's making these judgments. Okay? And then he will say, you know, holding, you know, and do the signs and whatever. And so then the coach will say, okay, then you come out. That's the punishment. And you do this, that, and the other, whatever. And so that the diagnosis came from the judgment. And it may be, you know, you have just ran, you know, more miles or whatever, touchdowns or yards, whatever they do, than anybody had ever done. That's a judgment. He looked, he saw, he said, and he established, or he declared it, and it was established. And so that's one judgment. And then there's another judgment that means to pronounce sentence for or against. And we had just talked about that, to vindicate or to punish. So you can listen to both sides of the airport scenario, and you personally can judge to either be for or against. You judge by taking the information that is given, and I'm going to say weighing it by or weighing it with the knowledge that you have, okay? So your knowledge may be the grace of God and the truth that God reveals. That may be the bulk of the database that you're using. So you're going to come up with a different kind of judgment, or you may have only thing you know is what they say, okay? So you may come up with a more, what do you call it, acceptable or common judgment because that's what everybody would say. And so this is the, it's like to govern, to litigate, to avenge, to condemn, and to defeat. And then the Greek word for judgment, you know, it means to distinguish, to decide mentally or judicially, or to call in question or to sentence. So to distinguish or to decide mentally or judicially. So this judgment is, I've heard it, and I have decided it's yes, or I've decided no. Mental, I'm going to receive that, or I'm not going to receive it. And it says God will judge evil in our hearts now so that we are spotless in the day of judgment. And I love that, what do you call it, that theme. Because it's like this is our reason why we want our hearts to be clean so that we are spotless in the day of judgment. And how often, you know, do we pray, you know, I want to be a bride, you know, that's presented spotless and without blemish in the day of judgment? Then you must be tried in trials so that God can judge the evil in your heart now. Get rid of it so then you can be. And so there's a step to that prayer that we don't often think about when we say that prayer out of the bride of Christ and would see spotless without blemish. The way it becomes spotless and without blemish is how it progresses in its the trials, tests, and tribulations that come its way, because that's how God stirs up the evil that is in our heart. You know, search me. That's how he searches us through our response or through the trials that we have, stirring up what's really there so that we could see it. That is the why. That why almost makes the test easier, because why am I going to rejoice in this test? Because this is how God creates in me a clean heart. This is how I become the bride of Christ without spot or blemish, because he is perfecting me. And this is part of his plan of perfection. And so it just that why, just something we want to do because we know that's what they say. But then when you understand why you're doing it, if once we get to the God's perspective of it, then it becomes easier to fight the temptation, because every time we embrace what God says is a time that we have not rejected his love to us. Because when we don't accept it and we fall into temptation and we, you know, choose you this day and today for this situation, I'm going to choose that, and it's negative, then it's not a good thing. It is not a God thing. And rather, it's something that it, not something, but it is the action of a heart that has rejected God. Rejected God in that area. You know, I'll do you this and this, but I'm not doing that. You know, so now the creator of the universe has been given limitations in our lives, his creation. You know, I'll let you do this, but you can't do that. You can touch this, but you can't touch that. Or even better, you know, you made me like this, okay? And he also knows that which comes in our life is to perfect what we have did to his creation. And so those are some of the motivators of which we probably 10 years ago or 20 years ago thought of as a hard life. You know, being a Christian is a hard life. You can't do this, you can't do that, you got to go to church, you got to be in church all day, you got to do this, you got to do that. And they're all like negatively perceived things, as opposed to, wow, I can do this. Now I can do that. Now, you know, I can go. And, you know, we always say that. I know it when I pray with a group of people. You know, it's like we can go together to the throne of God. And it's like, okay. You know, and I know that we say it, but do we understand what it means? And so my thought was, at some point, you know, it's, you know, we can go together to the throne of God. But do you know that means all of my saved children, you know, my parents, you know, those that, no matter where, well, not mother and father, they're there. But no matter where we are, we can go together. You know, we can go together. And so this going together is a family thing. And so when you think of the church, your brothers and sisters in Christ as your family, then that's different. You know, and not the family members that are difficult or, you know, hard to whatever. You know, the ones that you hope don't come to the Christmas dinner or you're glad when they leave or whatever. But family that cares and loves, the real picture or description of family. And so we're going to stop there because it says 10 seconds. And I just want everybody to know that the thing cuts us off. So it's not like, you know, because I know last week I was talking and then it went blank and they're like, oh, it hung up. So sometimes we do run all the way out to all of our, run out of all of our time. And so just so you know, it's not your phones acting up. It's just the program that we're using for Blog Talk. And so we'll just stop there, so you know, so that we are spotless in the day of judgment. Okay. Questions, yeah. Comments?
I was going to make a comment. When I was reading where it said Abraham was judged to be faithful, when he willingly released his dearest possession, Isaac, it come back to my mind that when my daughter was sick and my godmother told me that I had to change my prayer and say, you know, Lord, your will be done. And I say, no, I can't, you know, because I wanted my will to be done. I wanted him to raise her up. I wanted him to heal her. I wanted him to work a miracle in her life that, you know, the doctors would see that's not always there, you know, what they say.
Mm-hmm.
So that just came to me. And then, you know,
yeah.
to me, and when he spoke to me about that being yet in my heart and my sister, a situation in my heart where he did not, you know, things didn't go as I wanted it to, you know, that I wasn't willing to release my daughter to him, and then I wanted him to spare, you know, my sister.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that came to mind when I read that, you know,
Amen.
Being willing to release things to him.
Amen. Amen.
You know, Elder, it's interesting you say that because I remember when I got the call that they didn't say that my mom had died. I think they said she had collapsed or something. And I had a bunch of kids at my house at that time, like 8-year-old boys, like 3 8-year-old boys. And I went in the bathroom to pray, and I was praying and, you know, everything I could think of. And God said, that's the wrong prayer. And I'm praying again. He said, that's the wrong prayer. And then when I finally said, okay, God, you need to help us with this, you know, because it's like healing ain't going to happen. You know, restoration ain't going to happen. Not the way you want, because I'm like, okay, raise my mom up. And then, you know, he was like, it was like so clear, but it was also so peaceful. When I get to the right prayer, When I finally, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, when I finally said, okay, God, this had happened, you know, it was just like the peace of God. It was like, okay, you know, wiped my face and came on out and told it was a gentleman was there who was the coach. I'm like, look, I got to go because, you know, my mom has been taken to the hospital and, you know, and all that kind of thing. But
right.
It was a whole different perspective, the anxiety of the call at first. You know, and then as I'm trying to, like I say, everything I can, you know, I don't know how you go, but when you trying to think of everything you can think of, well, Lord, you know, Lord, you know what she did. Lord, you know what we need. Lord, and he's like, nope. You know, I'm snotting and crying. He's like, nope. Then it's like, okay, Lord, help us to deal with this. He's like, yep, that's it. And it was just that was it, and it was just over. But, you know, God is good. I am convinced. I am thoroughly convinced that God prepares us. He allows us to know if we will listen, you know, because I have not listened many a time. That's how I know on the other side of that, when my will lines up with his will, it's just like a piece of puzzle piece. I'm going to say piece of puzzle. Puzzle piece where everything just falls right into place, you know, and it's undeniable, you know, and I mean, for me, and then it was just unshakable. It's like, this is God's will. No, I don't understand it. I don't like it, but I know that this is God's will, And the only way we're going to have any modicum of any kind of peace and normalcy is to line up with what he's saying. Because, you know,
yes,
fighting against the it means absolutely nothing. What are we going to do, just be mad? You know, you're already dead. You know, I mean, he's already dead. Well, you know, so I really believe he warns us. He tells us when we ask. You know, it says, you know, seek and you will find. You know, that when we ask and we question of God, and I don't mean like question, God, I can't believe you did this. I just mean like, Lord, what, you know, what is it that you have me to do? And, you know, it's like I would have trust me in this situation. What do you know? What do you know about me? You know, and I have tried to ask myself that when I find myself in situations that seem like overwhelming. It's like, okay, what do I know about God? You know, he is faithful. He is loving. What has he done in the past? You know, he is those kinds of things. And we have to remind ourselves, because it is so easy to get caught up in the moment and with what everybody else is saying, even with the stuff that we're talking about as benign, as missing a flat or, you know, that kind of thing. But it's like, what do we know about God? That, you know, he will still take care of us, and he doesn't want us to be clowning on people. When people die, he don't want us to be clowning when things don't go right. You know, you shouldn't be cussing out the baggage handler or the ticket. You ain't got nothing to do. Nothing.
Right. Okay.
Just us venting. You know, and I think a lot of times, you know, people do that even, you know, in situations with death. That you're just overwhelmed. And like I said, in the bad side, not the bad side, but a negative attitude and behavior happens. But, you know, God is good all the time.
Yeah.
As quiet as that sounds, he really is. And he is working things out for us. And I believe that some things would never happen if other things didn't happen. You know, sometimes he has to move people out so that other people can rise up, you know, and it's not bad. It's just the attrition of how things have to happen, you know, that, you know, the boys couldn't be men until, you know, daddy went somewhere, because daddy wasn't going to let them be men. He was going to let them be boys as long, you know, I mean, you know, you can be a 30-year-old boy, a 40-year-old boy. But, you know, when he ain't here, then it's like, okay, every pot has to stand, you know, on his own.
You know, and with that, the Holy Spirit, I mean, Christ said, you know, the Holy Spirit can't come till I leave. You know, so it is a part of the way God does things that we have to embrace. That's just God's MO, if you will, method of operation. Right. You know, and he showed us that over and over again. And so not just show it, but he even explained it so that we would understand. So when we see it, we can embrace it and say, okay, you know, because this is how he does it. This is him. I know one of the things that the apostle has shared on Wednesday, you know, with Abraham, just Elder Roberta brought him up, was the fact that he heard God. And he went. He got told to go, and he went. And it's like when God, you know, we know God's voice. Oh, we know his voice. Just like Elder Deborah knew his voice. However, what he was saying, you know, she wasn't going for. So she changed it to something else of her own. So she heard his voice, but she didn't understand. She didn't wait to hear the preceding word that brought her the peace until she tried her way. And then, like she said, without a doubt, she heard him correct her. You know, he said, if you go to the right or go to the left, you know, he'll make your path straight to where you need to go. And she didn't stop till she got there. You know, and so when we hear him, we often negotiate with what we have learned from even not just people, but even our faith. You know, okay, this is that kind of prayer. This is that kind. He's going, nope, not that one, nope, until you got to the right one. And just like Abraham, he did what God said, and he let God interpret what he meant so that he would walk in excellence to where God wanted him to be. And that's not often what we do. We hear God, and then we try to negotiate. You know, we try to tell God something we think we learned from him. You know, Robert, and he's such a gracious guy. He is so faithful because he knows that's what we're going to do. He knows.
Yeah.
And yet he faithfully continues till we get it right. He's not going to give up. He's not going to give up.
You know, when he told Peter that he was going to deny him, you know, and he said Peter didn't know what was in his heart. Like a lot of us don't really know what's in our heart, but God, we don't see it at the time. We don't know it, but he knew it. But he warned Peter and told him. And then the writer says that the Lord had to stand back and allow experience to convince Peter, you know, what was in his heart.
Absolutely. And that's part of our adversity. He steps back so we can understand and we can see with our own eyes and then embrace the truth, because he's not going to show it to us until he's already embraced the truth. We need to know to take it, to be transformed by it, which is why it's so important that we're always in the place of learning. We're in the place of teaching, so because teachers and preachers and leaders and pastors that are under the anointing are going to feed the flock what God knows they're going. He said, these are pastors after my own heart. In other words, they know what's in my heart for you, and they're going to give it to you because they care about me. And so when we are not showing up for that, then we make our own adversity difficult. We make it extend to 40 years, okay, because we didn't show up for the teaching, you know, or we showed up and we weren't embracing the teaching. Maybe we didn't like who was giving it, or we didn't like it went past the time, or, my mind just was on something else, that kid or that husband or that job or, you know, whatever. And so because of that, you know, that's the enemy's way of distracting us so that we don't get what God has given us to defeat him. Because this understanding and passing our test is how we defeat Satan. We defeat Satan. And we are preparing ourselves to rule and to reign with Christ because we have embraced His death, his burial, and his resurrection, and his suffering.
Yes.
Embrace it, and we know it.
I'm enjoying the study, and he has given us a lot of nuggets to chew on.
Yes, indeed. I agree 100%. But then he's wise. He knows it. And this is where he led us, and so I am grateful. I am really, really grateful that he cares so much for us, you know, that he's prepared for us the meal we're going to need to be victorious, And I'm excited because he's doing it because that means he loves us. He's here with us on the line. He knows we're going to gather at 9 o'clock. He knows that this is where we're going. He even knows the lesson when overseers don't know the lesson. I thought we were going to do the firstborn. So, you know, I forgot. So far, I tell you. It's like Elder Deborah, and I'm doing it. Y'all, nope, that ain't it. I say, oh, I'm doing it. Nope, that ain't it. You know,
Hey, overseer.
Yes,
that means God know I'm going to ask you this question. Do you have a list of all the books that we've done since we've been doing this by any chance, or anybody on the line? I would have a list if somebody. Elder Roberta, got a list?
No, I don't have a list.
Of the books we've read?
I thought one time we was trying to go over that.
I don't think we ever did.
But books we had.
I think
we all have to pull out our books and compile it ourselves.
How would you even know? They just end without
I don't know.
They just end with the books. I would have no idea.
You know, sometimes I look at something and I'm thinking, did I read this? I mean, and that's crazy, but, you know, I'm thinking like, yeah, we read, no, I don't know. You know, so, no, I need it.
Okay. You know what? I got an easy solution.
Don't tell me to go back and listen to all of the broadcast.
Well, see, this is the thing. No. First of all, we probably need to all be together. So you may remember one. You know, I may remember one, and then we'll come up with this list. But right, but it's all on Blog Talk. And I'm not saying go back and listen, but when you look at the episode, I really try to, in the episode, put the book or whatever it is that we're learning from in the description.
Does it go back to the beginning?
Yeah, so it goes all the way back. So it's in there.
Okay.
Now, I know the first
year. When I'm stuck at the airport, that's something I'll do.
Okay.
I'm just being a wise.
No, but you know what? That would really be a blessing. That would really be a blessing.
Yeah, because
I
need to know that. So I'm going to figure that out. You know, I guess I could do that. That's one of the things I can do because I'm just sitting, staring at a TV.
Okay.
So, okay. I'm going to do that.
Now
I will commit to do that sometime early in the year. You know what I mean? I'd like to have that by the end of the month. It's the end of January is what I mean. But,
well, thank you.
Yeah, I'll commit to looking for that.
You do know the first year it was the Seven Wonders.
Okay.
Because that's why it started. People
wanted
the Seven Wonders.
That threshing floor.
I
said it was that threshing floor. I think I laid on and knocked the whole thing down. I was like, oh, God, what is happening here?
No, it wasn't a book, but everyone that I wrote to describe
the
wonder, I did it on Blog Talk because that's people wanted it. And I used to put it on a tape. You know, when you went in there, you listened to the tape and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So they, after it stopped, they wanted it. So Apostle said, well, do it on Blog Talk and you'll have it. So the first about year, you know, is just wonders, all of the wonders that we did. And the write-up that God gave as related to that wonder is what's on Blog Talk. And then after that, their books. Yeah.
Okay. You have any idea what year it started? Just out of curiosity.
Actually, I can go look. But I believe, let me just look.
I mean, it seems like we've been doing it almost 10 years, have we?
You know, I think it's 7.
It's got to be more than 7. Don't you think it's more than 7?
Okay.
Because I'm thinking in 15, I had the stem cell. We had been doing this for years before that. That's been 7 years. Maybe 10 or 12, 2010, 2012. I don't know. Elder Roberta, I thought you were our scribe.
I don't remember.
Or Minister Pat. Minister Pat on the line?
No.
I don't think so.
Okay.
If I found that 7 wonders, I don't know. But I got rid of a lot of stuff.
Okay, yeah, I got lost a lot of stuff. Hold on, because I'm trying to look at our stats. And, you know, I'm not all that good at doing that.
So. We lived in Bolingbrook.
Bolingbrook? Mm-hmm. Where's Bolingbrook?
Yeah.
I don't even know. Did I know y'all when y'all lived in Bolingbrook? I don't know.
That's where it started. We were in Bolingbrook.
Where was Bolingbrook?
I don't think I knew y'all then.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Did I? Okay.
Yes,
okay. I don't know.
I don't
remember Bolingbrook as the location, but who knows?
No. What was the name of the street, Arlette?
In Bolingbrook, wasn't it? I'm just not sure if it was Windsor or Lee Street.
Lee.
When it started.
Lee
Street. No, it wasn't Lee Street. No, it may have been Windsor.
Now, what's the name of that other street?
Because I came to Lee Street, so it could be Lee Street.
Lee was the other street. Lee was before you moved where you are, right?
Right.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
See,
we've lived on Lee Street twice.
Oh,
Actually, I believe it was 2013 because
okay.
I went in the hospital.
2013? That could be about right.
13 is when I retired. And maybe it was
and
were you doing
year.
It before you retired?
No. No, I wasn't. So it probably was 14. I'm trying to think.
Oh,
I don't know. We're looking up. Hey, it ain't turned us off yet. That's pretty cool.
Last week it was 10:22. I think when it dropped us last time. So you got a minute maybe, or whenever. But I think by 10:25 it'll kick us off.
Let's see, 32. That's 15. Okay, that must be it.
What, 2013?
No, 2015. Well, no, because it was not June.
It's got to be earlier than 2015 because I was in the hospital 2015. And we had been doing it. But don't worry. It was just a question. I ain't trying to rack your brain on a Friday. You know, so we'll figure
well,
it out.
Well, you know, it may have been because it looks like it's saying here an inside outlook, the process of healing and delivery. Will you be made whole? How long, Lord? Prevention. Now, see, this is somebody else was on this thing. He's throwing a book of pieces. I serve sexual healing retreat. So
there you go.
To
the I heard the talking.
Who?
I thought I heard the lady.
Oh, the lady. Oh,
that's
right,
me.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Hear me.
Okay. I think it was August 29th, 2015. Word from the word. And
was
that
it
would make
always
it
this station? You weren't on the other station first?
Yeah, you had to be somewhere else before. It had to be before 15.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I say because that's when I went in the hospital. This was August 29th. It says word from the word. That was supposed to be the first one, and that's when I got sick that morning. Well, I was up all night getting ready for the thing, and then I just was so cold, and they said, well, run up to the doctor, and he said, take her to the hospital. And it was
August. And that was August 2015? Okay.
Yeah.
It seems longer, but maybe so.
Breaking the walls. There were other people on this station, Apostle. There were other people on this station. But because this says August 29th, I know it was in August. And I probably ought to do is look at my medical record. But I remember that I said, now that's the enemy. Because the day it was supposed to start, I was in the hospital. So.
Okay.
right there.
Well, yeah, I'll go back because, I want to try to find the things we've read. And I'll kind of try to troll through that next couple weeks, see what I can find. It just seems like it was earlier than that. But, you know, the fact that we do it every week, maybe that's what's throwing me off. You know, because even from August to December, you know, that's half the year. So that could have been 20, you know, we could have had 25 sessions by the time I went to the hospital. Because I just remember when you remember when Dot was sending those messages when I had the stem cell transplant? That was in 15. That's what I'm saying. It just seems like we had been doing that so much longer, but it might have only been 6 months. I just don't recall.
Right. Yeah, and like you say, because it was 6 months, and every Friday.
Yeah.
And then the next Friday, I still ain't did. I did archive, and it says word from the word, August 29th, 2015, 8 a.m.
Okay.
Way to go. And that pastor would make it a bowling book. You said Windsor? No. You know what, Apostle? It had to be Lee Street. Have I really? Okay, where is Lee Street? We was over there since 2000. Apostle? I sure did. I bought the house when I retired. Because I was retired and bought that house. And it's like, you know that's God. Because they was calling to see if I was employed. And I wasn't. You know, before you sign the final paper, they had to check to see if you're employed. And I told the kid, I said, I could call my job and tell them, just say I'm still employed. And they would have done that. And God said, really? I said, you know what? No problem. I said, I'm not.
That's a plan B. That's what the plan B is.
That's right. See, I was trying to figure it out. Let me help the Lord away. Because I know I can, you know, they would do it for me. And it's like, you know, and I was torn. I was torn. I said, it's just a little lie.
Like, this got to be God, right? Everything else falling
you know
into place. This is what he want me to do.
You know how he told you when you was praying, he said, that ain't it. He was saying, that ain't it, and you know it. Okay.
Right,
and it's
right,
like, I'm finding it with everybody. I don't know. We probably won't get it because, you know, I can't do that. So, and then they gave us the keys. I said, get the keys, run. What is called? Okay, run. You know, but yeah, that's so. Nobody but God, and you got to do it His way. Otherwise, you can't praise Him, you can't worship Him, you know, because you polluted it.
And it won't
and
righteously
even if you don't tell nobody. Yeah, even if you don't tell nobody, then it's blaspheming. It really is. You know, oh yeah, God did this. No, He didn't. You did it. You called them people up in personnel, and they, you know, who I went to lunch with every day, so I knew she would. You know, they didn't have scruples. They didn't care. I think they really did. But that was what was notable about me and my era. I don't do that. So then I would have compromised 17 years of God putting forth His Spirit in that place through me. I would have just, for me. For her. And I would have wiped it out with that one line. And I didn't think of that then. Now he just showed it. I was like, ooh, that would have been horrible. Okay. He knew it would be, and so he just wasn't going to let me be stupid. So. Yes. Look at that. They just letting us go on and on and on. We had a warning to go.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, be blessed.
You guys have
happy,
a blessed
blessing.
New Year.
Because
it'll be 2023 if God's willing.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
And we're just going to do the whatever you said the heading was for Job for next week. I'm trying to think. I don't remember what you said we were going to talk about.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about God. You know, so we're being judged so that we can be spotless in the day of judgment.
Okay.
Okay. I realize we're not in the same book, have different page numbers. So, yeah. So, keeping judgment from seeing judgment from God's perspective. And
okay.
The book is going to be A God's Eye View by Tommy Tenney.
I think it's T-E-N-N-E-Y, Tenney. Tenney, like penny with a T.
Tenney with a penny with a T. Tenney. Gotcha.
Instead
all
of
right.
penny, Tenney. Yeah.
Well, blessed, blessed New Year. I love you guys. I wish that we could have a gathering where we can celebrate each other. You guys have just been phenomenal. I thank God for you, and I do. I pray for you, and I pray his blessing and his favor falls on you in abundance. In
thank
Jesus.
You.
Likewise.
Yes. Thank you.
Bless.
Okay, be blessed, be blessed. Enjoy your worship.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless.
God bless. God
bless. Bless you too. I bless you too.
Okay, where's this lady at?